I'd like to welcome everyone to our energy clearing dowsing call here, our Wednesday evening one. And of course, we're drifting into Thursday for as we cross over the Atlantic Ocean into Britain and Europe and Australia. It's a little more of a sensible hour in Australia. So I'd like to welcome everyone that's here. And for those of you who are coming on at a later date, I'm so glad that you've taken the time to come in and listen to this call. Tonight, I have with me, and my name is Kathy Wilson, and I'm talking to you from Toronto, Canada, and we have on as a guest today is Tyson Manigan, and he's what we, I guess Tyson, you referred to as a master dowser, and like other dowsers, he's a man of many, many talents. If you look at his history, he has a very eclectic background, and he's from Sunnybrae, B.C., and as most dowsers, he wants to make a difference. And his focus is the technologies of transformation. And all of these technologies, they all follow, you know, the KISS theory, the theory. You know, keep it simple, 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 simple. And his focus is empowering people, keeping it simple, empowerment for change, to heal, people healing themselves, the planet, society. So he has a big goal here, and if you look at his website, it's really interesting because he's got so many different things he's touched, from being talking in at a university and doing university lectures to banging on a drum, you know, in sacred ceremonies. So you're looking at someone that's touched many, many facets of life. He's stepped into the stream, which is obvious, and what he wants is he wants others to join him and come into this energy of change. So anyway, I hope I covered you, Tyson. I know there's so much more. So anyway, welcome. Today what we're talking about is basically he has a list, and it's out on the internet, and I hope all of you have had a look at it, and it's a deep clearing protocol. So Tyson is going to talk about just sort of what he does with this and give you some techniques and tools for you to go and use it on yourself and other people. So there you go, Tyson. I hope I've covered the groundwork there for you.
Thank you very much. That's certainly a big beginning and a great place to start. And welcome, everybody. And this is a great opportunity to share with you some time and some space around one of my favorite topics, which is clearing. Now, if anybody had asked me about clearing 15 years ago before I met Raymond Grace, I would have said, I don't know what you're talking about. I don't understand what you mean by, you know, people in your field, or you're having hooks, or there's, you know, there's energies that are intruding into your space. All that didn't make any sense to me. It was all gobbledygook. So it was quite an eye-opener for me to realize that for most of us, in our day-to-day experience, we are really quite open, most of us. Our fields are quite open and quite susceptible to all sorts of different energies. And this is pretty pretty simple stuff. I mean, you already know what I'm talking about. When you walk into a room and you say, yuck, I don't like this feeling, or you're close to a person and it just doesn't feel right, or you are passing someplace on the street and you say, wow, that just doesn't feel right. You have this gut reaction, this feeling that something isn't right. Well, that's an early warning system that something is most likely trying to penetrate your field. So we already have this early warning system, and what I want to do is to help you recognize that. And if you get overwhelmed by the feelings that others, or you're responsible for other people's emotions or feelings, or you meet people on the street and you pass them and you're feeling their impressions or how they're doing psychologically, then most likely that means your field is way wide open, and I'm going to help you close it down so you know what's your stuff, what's somebody else's stuff, what's for the planet, and what's maybe cosmic, and to let you know that you're not responsible for all of that. So that's a bit of an introduction. So
Tyson, do you find that most people that get whacked by this stuff are ones that are aware of energy, or perhaps more intuitive, or are starting to realize that there's more than just their own physical bodies and the jobs they have and sort of the doldrums they're in? Do you find
Absolutely.
That?
Particularly the new generations coming through, like the Indigo and Rainbow and the Crystal Children, being advanced on the advanced curve of the evolution of consciousness, already are psychically attuned not only to each other's but to what's going on around them. And sometimes that can be just overwhelming for them. There's just so much information coming in, and not being able to filter it and not being able to know what's theirs and what isn't and what they're responsible for and what they need to act on and what they can let go of can just be, like I say, overwhelming. And a lot of people are forerunners of that new consciousness. They just are open and really empathic to other people and to their feelings and to what's going on, and can just get overwhelmed and drained.
So you were saying with this list, it started with Raymond. And I think we had Raymond on last week, and I think Raymond has kicked so many people into gear, and people have taken his work and then made it their own. So how did Raymond start? How did you get triggered from Raymond?
Well, it was pretty simple. I had a friend named David Cowan who went to Raymond's workshops in Vernon, which is about an hour and a half away, and he was working with some clearing devices that he has. And he came back and said, "Hey, Tyson, look what I can do." And he started swinging this pendulum around and said, "Look, I can do this and I can clear that." And I said, "Well, that's pretty neat. I think I can do that." So I got a pendulum out, and pretty soon we figured out that, yes, we could do that. And he was working with technology that at that time was a quantum machine. So we could immediately test out whether our theories were correct or not. We could check it in the quantum field that whether we had cleared something or hadn't cleared it. So we had instantaneous feedback that it was working. And so that was very exciting, because for most people, swinging a pendulum around and making it going around in circles and having a connection to the fact that that's actually doing something in your field and other fields can for many people be quite a stretch. So to actually have it a machine that can pick up that transfer of energy and show that it's actually clearing out of a person's field was a great confirmation that what we were doing was actually working. So that was the start of it all. So from then I went to Raymond's next course and took it and learned about all these things that can intrude into people's fields, and was, you know, quite shocked by the huge list and just how many people were actually so wide open. So I started to then start looking at people that I am around and myself, and realizing that in many cases that I was open myself. And so I learned how to close my field and then started helping other people to learn how to close theirs. So that's been sort of like a personal challenge or goal, is to teach people to become aware of this and to do something about it.
So how did you start? So how did you start with this? Did you start using it on your clients, or?
Yeah, I started to use it on my clients. I would find if I was just doing a session that I needed to back up and start at the very beginning, which is what I do now, is check whether the person field is open or closed. And if it's open, the first thing to do is to teach them how to close it and help them close it, so that they can then begin to feel what is what's it like to be actually have their field open and what it feels like to have closed. Most people can't tell the difference, but many people are quite open. So the way I describe it to a person who doesn't know the distinction between an open or closed field is, say your field is open 25%, and I ask you, well, then how would you like to wake up in the morning and have 25% more energy than you did at any other time? And the answer said, well, I'd have my life back, or that would feel fantastic, or wow, that's worth trying. And, of course, the higher the percentage, the more energy that you would have in your day-to-day activities that wouldn't be drained off by other entities or other emotional connections that are in your field. So that's the way that I introduce it to people, so they get a sense of what that's like. And then once I get their field clear, then helping them to feel what that's like, so that they can then have an early warning system to know when something is trying to intrude their field so they can take the appropriate action to clear themselves.
Just, I've been working with this list for probably the last 4 or 5 days, and just first, there's nothing really normal, I know, because I know with clients, they'll come on and they'll go, well, am I the worst you've ever seen? You know, it's almost like they need to have some sort of ruler or yardstick in terms of where they are in the scale of life, I guess, or the scale of healing. But I'm noticing the clients I've been working with is when I do the first count, so zero is you know, is the low end, and then 100 is where we want to go. I'm noticing that the lowest I had was 17, and then most of them seem to be 45, maybe 65. Does that sound what you're getting, or?
I mean, that the intrusion into their field is 17%. Is that what you're meaning?
Well, no, that they're only 17% clear.
Wow, if they're only 17% clear, then for most people, you know, and we may be having different scales, or you know, we maybe need to correlate our scales together. Mm-hmm. But in my world of dowsing, if somebody at 17 or 20 has major possession.
Mm-hmm.
And in that sense, they really don't know who they are. It's sort of like there's 8 people in the back of the car, and they're driving, and the other 8 people are trying to grab the steering wheel
mm-hmm.
and be in charge. That's how stressful it can get, right?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that for me is an indication of a major going on. That's the sort of thing that can have people get locked up in a psychiatric ward because people or doctors or don't know how to deal with it.
Mm-hmm. And most other people, like, so I had one at 17, and then I think the others went from 44 to 65 when I started. So would that be... We're just talking. I mean, I know there's no normal because everybody's different, but...
Well, I start to worry if they're 25% or more open.
Mm-hmm.
And then my goal is to get everybody, you know, closed, so 100% closed. So it can get confusing. Are we talking about open or are we talking about closed? So let's just is closed, and open is, say, 25% or 75%. So
I'm following your scale when you're saying check with your pendulum from 0 to 100%, with 100% being clear to see how clear you are. If not, 100%.
And clear, yeah.
Yeah, so I was checking how clear they were.
Yeah. Well, that's really low on the scale. Mm-hmm. So that would be really good with those clients to really help them understand how to do that. Mm-hmm. Now, the list is really long, so if you're looking at the list, don't get overwhelmed with it. When I started, like most people, I wanted to know, who are these people, or are the entities, and which planet are they from, and are they blue or green or pink or orange, and do they have arms and legs and all the rest of it? And you can get lost into the layers of what these entities may or may not be, or where they come from, or what is a hook, or what's this, or what's that. And basically, after doing some discovery around all that and even tracing it intergenerationally, like, is it on the side of your father or your mother? I just decided I just want to clear people. I just want to get everybody out of the field. So I don't spend a lot of time figuring out who's who and what's what and who's, you know, you've let into your field. My goal has always been now just to get them out. So no piggybackers are allowed in the field. It's your field. You incarnated. You're the one that went through the dirty diapers, so anybody who is in your field, you ask them to leave, and if they want this experience on this planet, on this dimension, at this time, they can incarnate, go through the same process you did, get a body, and have that experience. And in the meantime, if they could just ask them to go back to the level of consciousness that they came from, and if they don't want to go, and you can always ask for assistance from your archangels or your spirit guides or for those that you work with on higher dimensions to assist you in that. Or, of course, the big kahuna of them all is Archangel Michael, to ask him to guide them to the light, and that will be taken care of for you. So you don't have to solve it all on your own. You can ask for assistance from other dimensions that have been working on this for centuries. So... by all means, ask for assistance when you do this, but take the time to learn how to clear yourself. Once you do that, then you'll strengthen your field, and the more that you do it, less often you'll have to do it. And the more you'll know when there is an attempted intrusion in your field, you'll just feel it coming on and can then take the time to clear. So I think one of the obvious questions probably for some people out there is, so how, where did these intrusions come from? Or, you know, I don't understand about all this. Well, I'll give you some clues. If you've ever taken drugs, or then that's an obvious opportunity for entities to inhabit your space. If you've been to a hospital and visited somebody, that's an obvious place for entities to enter your field. Think of it this way. Our people are dying and passing over, and they're full of entities. The entity no longer has a host body. It says, oh, there's somebody that's open. Well, they've come to visit. Great. I'll just jump in aboard in that energy field. So they'll piggyback into your energy field. So hospitals, going to the bar is another place. Going to a graveyard is another place. Even coming out of a sweat lodge, you have to be careful. So any place where people are actually being cleared of entities, be aware that if you are not awake to the what's going on, that you can then become the host for those entities as they leave another body or another person as they clear. So those are some of the ways in which you can pick up entities. You can also have it from traumas. So if you had experiences of abuse when you were a child, if you had a near-death experience, if you had a major situation that created a lot of fear or trauma, if you have shame or guilt, all of these are energies that entities like to feed on. And without that fear or shame or doubt or guilt, there would be actually no energetic food for them to be a host or to feed on from you. So keeping yourself clear and working on those traumas and releasing them is really important work to get those psychological blocks out of your field and dealt with, so that there is no gateway into your field or auric field for repossession to occur.
So this list, Tyson, is a self-help list. So someone could just print it off and then work through it themselves. So could you just talk us through it so people can get an idea of how they should approach it for themselves?
Well, I would suggest that if you've never dowsed before and you don't know how to use a pendulum, then it might be best to phone me and arrange for a 15-minute free assessment so I can take you through the process of basically teaching you how to douse. And it's not that complicated. It's pretty straightforward. There are some videos on the web on YouTube that show you how to douse. But basically, if you know how to get a yes and a no from a pendulum, and if you know how to clear, which is going counterclockwise, and if you know how to bring new energy, which is swinging the pendulum clockwise, those are the four actions you need to know. And then if you know how to do a scale, how to read on a scale of 0 to 100, that's basically what you need to go ahead and do this on your own. Now, having said all that, if it just feels like something's in your field, or you're feeling like you're not yourself, or you just know that the building you're walking into is making you feel creepy, then you don't really need to use the pendulum. You can just say this, right? So the first paragraph is really pretty straightforward and pretty clear. I say in my holy name, if you can't relate to that, it doesn't matter. You say, I declare I am light and only light. What that means is that anything that isn't of the light has no business being in your field. And then I undertake this action throughout all levels of consciousness and throughout all time, space, and dimensions, both known and unknown. And I undertake this deep pendulum clearing as a benevolent act, and allow all non-beneficial energies, attachments, intrusions, alterations through all sources, whether beings and on and on. The important thing here is that we create our own reality on every level. So anything that has appeared the person that pissed you off today, or the person who was rude to you, or whatever it was that's happened to you today that hasn't made you feel good, you've called that situation into your life for you to learn from that. So there's nothing external from you. You create your own world. So for some people, that's a pretty big concept to grasp, but once you do grasp it, then everything that is appearing in your field that you've called forth then becomes your blessing, your opportunity to learn from. So even an entity that's in your field from whatever source or for whatever reason is there to help you wake up to the fact that it's your field and that you need to take charge of your own life. So it is an opportunity. So the important thing is to do this with benevolence, because anything that's appeared is for your own learning. So we're not going to, you know, we're not going to kick these entities out or scramble their brains or do those sorts of things. We're going to thank them for granting us this opportunity to learn about ourselves and then help move them from your field towards the light and where they can get on with their own evolution. So that's the most important thing, is to do this with compassion. So the way we do this is we ask that they be translated, transmuted, and transfigured, that all these layers of reality be cleared through to harmonious frequencies of light, and that you're asking Prime Creator or God or however you want to identify that Prime Source to help you with this in the removal, and that that all things that are not aligned to 100% pure light need to be leaving your field now. And then the list begins with all the different ways in which intrusions can happen. If you're a dowser, then what I recommend is you just go through the numbers on the list and just see if you get a yes or no for the number that's there. Don't get caught up in what the number is all about. I mean, if you read all those and try and figure them out, maybe you need to be committed, so don't bother doing that. What's important is to figure out what's important to focus on. So by dowsing, whether it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, whichever the ones they are that you need to focus on, that's what you need to do. So you go through the whole list, and you can, if you douse, you can also do it by page. You know, is there anything on this page that is relevant to me? Yes or no? Is it at the top of the page, middle of the page, bottom of the page? So you don't even have to go number by number if you're a dowser. So what is important is, I think, for everybody is to at least do 58 and 59. So 58 is, I give myself permission to release any and all non-beneficial energies held in their genetic code or matrices that may have been derived from any space, time, or dimension, either known or unknown. And in conclusion, and in my holy name, I now revoke and deny permission for any and all non-beneficial intrusions into my energy field from any and all sources. And I transform, transmute, translate, transfigure, and heal and repair all above stated actions and any other not yet stated non-beneficial thought forms and energies in, around, or through my being. And I do so throughout all time, space, and dimensional matrices, both known or unknown, including deleting all original causes, core belief, past and present traumas and effects. And I call one soul right now, wherever I went, to clear myself back to this. So one soul is basically the concept of one soul is that we are multidimensional beings, and we inhabit many other realities, some of which we're aware when we're asleep. Some of us are becoming more aware of them while we're awake. The important thing is that if you're having a crisis, or if you want your energy all to right here, right now, on this dimension, to deal with whatever it is that you need to deal with, you can call one soul. That means all of your energy that's working on all the other levels and dimensions, you need it right here, right now, to assist you to do what needs to be done. So that's what that means. So I call one soul here and now, and I retrieve, heal, and repair any and all aspects of my fragmented soul. Now, fragmented souls, for some people, fragmented souls are dealt with by doing a First Nations soul journey. There's nothing wrong with doing a soul journey, and that's another way of finding those parts of yourself that may have been removed from your soul because of a trauma or from some intercession from some other being or somebody who may be acting not on your best behalf, who is trying to do something negative to you. So finding your soul fragments can include a soul journey. This is just another way of doing it. It doesn't mean that one's better than the other. So if you relate to the whole idea of shamanistic journeying, then by all means find somebody who can help you take the journey to retrieve that part of your soul. And then the last part of this is, I remove all infections and bring all healing crises associated with this action to a successful conclusion, such that I am pain-free and any damage is now fully repaired, and I declare it so. And so it is. Thank you. So that's the clearing modality. Now, because all clearing is from swinging the pendulum counterclockwise, you're creating a vortex. A vortex is like when you pull the plug on your bathtub and the water goes down the drain. That's a vortex. So a one that's going counterclockwise is spinning those aspects out of your field that you no longer want. When you do that, what it does is brings you to what I would say, or what I call as neutral. That's the space between two vortexes. So if you had one vortex on top of the other, it would form a cross. It would be like an hourglass. So that null point or that zero point is in the center of that cross. That's what we call in physics a zero point. In the zero point is all potentiality, all possibility. And in that potentiality and possibility is the ability to create a new reality right here and right now. So that's the next action you do is you fill the void that you've just created. You fill that null point, that zero point, with new energy. So now you're spinning the pendulum clockwise, and you say, with the assistance of Prime Creator or Source, I now translate, transmute, transform, and transfigure. Heal and repel are all that I've stated, and replaced it with Prime Creator's love and light and tone. And now reborn anew in this moment, I ask for assistance to create the Elohim shields of protection, cosmic SWAT teams, and you can keep on going through this. So basically you're calling on your light team. That's anybody who you're working on with on the other side. It could be an ancestor that's passed over that you know that you're working with. It could be a spirit guide. It could be an animal totem. It could be any other dimensional being. It could be ascended master. It could be a being from another dimension. It could be one from your soul star if you know that you're from another planet. You know, it can be whoever you want to work with. The important thing is they need to be 100% from the light. That's the only criteria you need to make sure. You don't want any tricksters. You don't want anybody who's fooling around in your field. You just want those people that are going to assist you to the best of your ability and their ability to move you into the light. So that's basically the last part of it, is to fill this new space with energy that will assist you. And then you conclude by saying, my brain is clear, rebooted, repatterned, and balanced, and my DNA and etheric, emotional, and mental bodies are in harmony and balance with my original blueprint. And with each deep clearing, I spiritually cleanse myself, and my protection level is increased such that my auric field repels all psychic attacks or repossession attempts. And I fill the void with the higher dimensional energies, and I now grant love, forgiveness, and freedom to any and all, including myself, if I participated in inhibiting my or any other's DNA activation or obstructed my own or other's soul paths. And in addition, I now call in the higher dimensional energies to translate, transmute, transform, and transfigure, anchor, repair, purify, assemble, and activate my DNA and genetic structure to the full limit of my body, energy structures, soul matrices, and oversouls can now hold in each moment. I grant myself the full memory of all lifetimes and the remembrance of the purpose and the work for which I have come to planet Earth In my holy name, I declare it so, and so it is. Thank you. So that means everybody who's online has just received a deep clearing. So hope you all feel better.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. So one of the things that happens is, like, people see resistance, like they feel resistance. So, for example, we start at the beginning and we start talking about, you're talking about in my holy name. So that'll just turn someone, not turn them off, but it's an edge for some people. So what would you suggest they do is go through this list and just work with what works for them? Would you suggest they do the list and then if anything, to change anything, what would you suggest at this point?
Well, some people say don't change a word,
mm-hmm.
you know, when they do a prayer or they doing a deep clearing. And I have another one on my website that's really an exorcist, right? An exorcism.
Mm-hmm.
And on that one, the king, the lady named King or the man named King who wrote it says don't change a word. And basically that's normally what it is. But this is adapted from many different sources, and yes, the wording that I say in my holy names are my word. If that pisses you off or frustrates you or you can't relate to it, then change it. But basically, the intention of the words are that we know that they work. So you could say from the higher part of myself, or that part of that is aligned with source, or, you know, from the highest point of myself, or whatever. Basically, the thing is, you don't want to be talking to your ego.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want the ego in here. So that's what's important, is to make that distinction and that separation. So, yes, if you can't relate to some of the words, change them. But be careful. Most of the words are there because they work. And if you take a look in my dowsing manual, each specific word has a vibration. And if you douse the vibration of each word, you'll get a different result. So saying clearing or transformation or transmutation has a much more deep result than, say, scramble or deactivate or any other word like that. So the words, like those words, have been carefully chosen because they carry an energetic vibration to them that actually works. So, yes, change what you need to do, but be careful you don't change everything.
Okay, so we've got a question here. This is Cindy from Washington, and I'm surprised there's anybody from the U.S. on this call because of the fact it's July 4th. So happy July 4th to all our Americans who are listening. But anyway, Cindy's question is, she has a sister with mental illness, and she was asking, you know, what kind of success you've had with clients with mental illness with this clearing protocol?
Well, I think that, you know, from my own biased opinion, that if a deep clearing was done with those that are being diagnosed with mental illnesses, a lot of the situation would be cleared up. I'm not saying all of it would be, because some of it is really, really from deep trauma, and until that trauma is dealt with and had an opportunity to be cleared, then this deep clearing may just take the edge off. Having said that, I've had people come back to me and say, Tyson, I've done the deep clearing, and I no longer hear voices in my head. Or, thank you, Tyson, I don't have any more mind chatter going on. So I think that it can go a long way to helping people that have a psychological problem. And, of course, you have permission to do this for anybody. You don't need people's permission to clear them. You know, it's according to divine law that we are all sovereign beings and nobody's allowed to be piggybacking in our energy field. So helping and assisting another person to clear themselves is fair game. So don't worry about having permission. Certainly on this list, what I suggest, if you read further down on the deep clearing, is when you do the clearing, right on the back of the sheet from the clearing, all those in your family that you want to clear, all those residents, places of work, cars, you know, those things that you want to clear, add them onto your list. So every time you clear everybody else. And this will go back seven generations in the past and seven generations into the future. So putting your brother or your son or anybody who has a mental illness on the list is a really compassionate thing that you could do to assist them.
Do you want to talk a little bit more about permission? Because that seems to be a hook. And I know I've talked about that with the dowsing groups. And it seems to be some people say, no, you have to have permission. And others are saying, you don't have to ask anybody. You know, if it's not going to work, it's not going to work. So what's your feeling on that?
Well, if anybody doesn't really want you to work with them, and one of the ways that I know is before I go to bed, when I'm in that quiet space, I'll go into the higher part of myself, and I will ask to connect to that person's higher self. That higher self usually will allow me to enter into work with that person in any way that I feel is appropriate, because that higher self can recognize who I am and that I come with compassion. If that person is traumatized or for whatever reason is really, really wants to block all energy, they won't let you in. So that person is usually a pretty serious case, and they're usually already having to deal with trauma in a big way. The irony of that is those people that don't let you in, unfortunately, are the very people that need to be cleared. So it's a bit of a paradox. But, yes, my belief is that we are sovereign beings, and nobody has a right to be in anybody else's field, myself included, which comes to, when you think about it this way, if we are multidimensional beings, we could be in somebody else's field in another dimension, and that isn't appropriate either. So, you know, it's not as though it's a one-way street, it's a two-way street. So we have to be careful of our own energy fields and how we may be projecting into the future. Like, for example, we may have a loved one who's passed over on the other side who we miss tragically, and we keep calling them, right? Is that not an intrusion into an energy field in another dimension? So we need to be aware of what we're doing ourselves, right? That we're not contravening the rules that we want to have for ourselves on this dimension as well. So there's multi aspects to this. But basically, if it's for the highest good of all intended and you put that into your criteria, then it's fair game. So that's my belief.
Thank you. It's nice to get some the ways the different healers are thinking about asking permission. Just another question that's come in. I don't know if I quite understand this one. Let me think about the question before I ask it. I'm not sure if I've got it quite clear. So, Robert, can you just type that in again? It's not quite making sense the way you've got it, so... So do you, Tyson, do you want to just tell us some of your experiences with how this list has worked, some ground floor experiences, and no names, of course, and very generally?
Well, this list, I review it twice a year and to see if there's ways that it need to be changed. And I'm always adding to it. I'm always looking at other methodologies that are used for extractions or exorcisms or for moving entities or implants or aliens or hooks or whatever the list that goes on and on. And so I'm always refining it and looking at it and checking that it's actually working to the highest ability that it can without getting caught up in who's who or what's what. And like I said, whether they're pink or yellow or have arms or legs or, you know, what's doing who to what, or, you know, what's good or bad. And so I try and stay out of the judgment aspect of it. And so some of the results are that when a really deep exorcism happens, it can be pretty scary. That's my experience, to literally see the swearing and to see the anger and resentment of a really deep entrenched entity come out of a person and have them actually leaving the chair by 3 or 4 feet can be quite dramatic. So, you know, possession comes in all forms, some of it much more deeper than others. And when I have ones that I can't deal with, I just have an upline that I refer to have assistance. So some of them are not very nice at all. Most of them, in most cases, like 99%, clear fairly easily. Sometimes it takes three times through with us clearing to have them leave the field. But there can be some intense ones, like I've said. So I hope that answers your question.
I've found that sometimes people, they're calling them in themselves. Like there's these really awful things that seem to be, I mean, they're quite, not frightening, but they are frightening. And yet the person will keep calling them in. So you'll clear them and then they're back again. So again, is the people we are working with, they have the ability to make the decision of whether or not they want to keep this around or not.
Absolutely. I mean, one young lady I worked with, and she has a little green type entity, and I said, well, why did you allow this being, if you know, why have you allowed it in your field? She said, well, I came out of a sweat lodge, and there it was, and it seemed really lonely and had no place to go, so I let it in. I said, well, I don't think that's a very good idea. She said, yeah, but I'm okay with that. So some people just, I guess, want to have that experience.
It needed me.
I want to have, but, you know, some people just seem to want to have that experience.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Robert, I think I've got your question here. He's referring to, I think, to question number 40, where you say, I request and grant myself karmic absolution with the assistance of the karmic board of 100% pure light. So Robert is saying that he feels that he's fighting his own karma all the time, like whatever's happening is his karma. So he's thinking that's just to clear it all. You can't do that. So karma,
well, you can do whatever you want. I mean, you're in charge of your life on every level and every dimension. And in every lifetime, from incarnation to incarnation, you're always in charge. So you can do what you think you can do. So if you think you can't do it, you've already closed the door on that being a possibility. If you think you can do it and you allow yourself the possibility of doing it and you truly, honestly believe it, then you can do it in this instance. So it's entirely up to the individual and their belief system. So it's important not to limit yourself. The thing to remember is that you came here whole, sound, and perfect, and you can't get anything wrong in this incarnation. You're doing absolutely everything wrong. But right. Sorry, I got that wrong, but right. There is no wrong. The fact that you think you're doing something wrong is just your interpretation of it. It's just an opportunity for you to remember that you are already clear. You're already the Buddha, or you're already the Christ, if you can relate to those words, or you're already there, or you're already enlightened. Take the words that you feel the most comfortable with. The only difference is that you've burdened your life by feeling that you've done something wrong, that you need to go through some karma, or you need to work something out, or there's something in the way, or there's something that disallows you from remembering your true self, which is that you're already there. So every moment that you can remember that you're already there, that you don't have to go anywhere or do anything, that you're already whole, sound, and perfect, brings you one step closer to that realization in every moment. So, yeah, you may have karma, but welcome it as an opportunity to face it and deal with it and clear it from your field so you can stand in the light.
So you can be Dorothy and just put on those beautiful shoes and just tap them and say, there I am.
There you are. And the neat thing is that in the mind, in our own mind, if we can actually envision clapping or tapping our shoes and saying, there I am, there you are. The mind has absolutely no way of telling the difference between the actual creation of the thought form, if it's whole, sound, and imbued with emotion in your mind. It can't tell that from reality. So, yeah, imagine it. Create it in your mind's eye, paint it with your emotions, and boom, there you are. It's done. Click those heels.
Talk a little bit about the short form on how to do this, and the reason I'm saying this is because for me, this is the way I do it. Is I go through the long process until it feels like I own it, or it feels like I've got it. So I've been going through the long process of this, and then I had somebody, and just at the end of a treatment, I just put my hand on the sheet, and I just say clear, and I thought, oh, and then I checked it, and it was, oh my goodness, it jumped.
Yes.
All I said was clear.
That's true. So the only purpose in doing it the long form is to put it in your field.
Mm-hmm.
So if your field is wide open, then you need to just practice it for a period of time to put it in your field, like once or twice a day for a week or so. Some people say it takes 21 days to change a bad habit or to change a thought form that's deeply entrenched. I don't know what the magic number is, but certainly once it's in your field, then all you have to do is put your hand on the paper and say clear, or just just think it, or come up with a short form that you touch some part of your body, like your third eye or your hand over your heart, and you say clear, and yes, it is done once it's in your field. So the important thing is to get it into your field enough so that you can do that short form. The part that is highlighted, which is a shorter form, you can also use that also, which is a little shorter, which is to clear anything in your field, use the following. It's under the part that says the panel. So I translate, transmute, transform, transfigure, release, and repair all original causes, core beliefs, and effects related to, and then you fill in the blank of what you kind of clear. And if you don't have a pendulum, you can use your finger, and you can rotate it by the side of your body and going counterclockwise. And I do this throughout all time, space, and dimension, all matrices, both known and unknown. And I declare it so and so it is. Thank you. And then you establish whatever that trigger point is that makes you remember what it feels like to be clear. And then you say clear, or you use this short form, and voila, it's done.
So how would you suggest someone approach this list? So I now can douse yes and no, and I'm okay with my pendulum at the moment. So now I want to start using this list in my life. So how would I just? I know it sounds kind of silly, but sometimes you need to connect the dots here.
Yep.
So how would I just start?
Well, I would read the first paragraph. And then when you come to the numbers, I would go down the numbers with my pendulum. And I douse whether any one of those numbers relate to you or to the individual that you want to clear. And if any of the numbers apply, then I'd circle those numbers and keep on going. And if you're an advanced dowser like yourself, you could do it page by page. Is there anything on this page that relates to me or my client? Yes, no. Next page, yes, no. Okay, this page is yes. We're on this page, top, middle, bottom. This number or that number, so I'll circle the number, and then have you or your client just do those numbers over a period of time, like, you know, twice a day for a number of days, like I would suggest at least a week, so it's in their field, until when they douse, I know that they're 100% clear. And like I said, the important thing is to be able to feel what it's like to be clear. And to know when you're not clear. So when you walk into the building and you feel yucky, it's time to clear. When you come into somebody who makes you feel uncomfortable, it's time to clear. If you're going to go visit a relative in the hospital, clear yourself before you go. And while you're there, maybe go into the bathroom and clear the whole hospital. Use the long form, please. Okay? Clear the whole hospital. Do everybody a favor. Come out. Clear yourself. So those are the sorts of situations. If you're going to go have a beer with your buddy and go to the bar, I suggest you clear yourself before you go.
And when you come out.
And when you come out. So, you know, it's part of becoming mindful of where your energy can meet other energies that you don't want to bring home with you. You know, you don't want any piggybackers. So that's what I'm suggesting you do. And once you know what it feels like to be clear, then you can just say, oh, gee, I don't feel good. I'm going to put my finger to my third eye because that's my magic spot, or my hand over my heart, and I'm going to say clear, or I'm going to put my hand on this paper that has the long form on, and I'm going to say clear, and it's done.
Or you could even just imagine the sheet and say
absolutely.
Clear. So you don't actually have to have it with you.
No. But I do have it on my underneath my radionics chart, and I broadcast it 24/7. And on the well, I put all those that I want to have cleared, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you can broadcast it as well. So you can, if you know how to do radionics, you can broadcast it those who you feel could benefit from a clearing, or for those that have asked you to assist them. There's some other ones in here, too, that I'd like to mention. That there's a neat one here that's called the Quantum K, and there's the link to go online. And that's a really neat one to do. It's one that you can do online. It gives you numbers and pictures. You follow along with it, and it clears you by the time you finish the session. There's also an accompanying manual that you can download and read. They say the same thing. Read this manual, put it into your field. Once it is in your field, just think of the manual and you're clear. So it's the same technique again. And then the panel is the next one down, and that's if you're starting to get into trouble and this is not clearing you, then, and if you're a light worker and you feel you need some assistance, this is a group that you can go to. Of course, you can also give me a phone call for a 15-minute pre-assessment, and I'll see if I can help you as well. So there's other ways of going other than this deep clearing, which are on the sheet, that provide you some other opportunities. The other one that's probably worthwhile that I feel is associated with this is to Google Ho'oponopono and to learn how to do the Ho'oponopono prayer. And for people that don't know how to spell that, it is in footnotes of how to spell it, but I'll see if I can do it right here. It's H-O apostrophe O, and then P-O-N-O, and then P-O-N-O. And
he's got a peanut gallery there. Hi, Sarah.
Huh?
You're getting some help there.
Yeah, I'm getting some help, and I actually had it right, so anyway.
Tell her we said hi.
Oh. Everybody says hi. She's giggling away like crazy.
And we don't like to do this work alone, everyone. You need a pal.
Yeah. You do. You need a pal. And Maureen, by the way, has another, who's sitting here in the chair giggling away, has another neat way of clearing people, too. And it's inner resonance technology, and she's just published a book on that. So there's another whole methodology you can learn how to clear yourself and learn it to help clear other people, and it works like magic. It's based on the same principle that in the quantum field, all things are possible in the now, that there is no past, present, and future. There's only the potentiality in this moment, and we can get the work done if we're ready right here, right now. So a little plug for my friend Maureen, who's giggling in the background here, because she does the same similar type of work. The other work that I do, if anybody is interested, is I work with the VOS technology. You can check that on my other website. And one of the methodologies there is that there's scalar technology that broadcasts a clearing field as well. And that clearing field also clears all that's in one's field. So that's another methodology that can be used. It also takes a voice sample and finds the strength, the high points in your voice, and then does an analysis, feeds it back to you, produces a 21-minute CD that you play that also clears your field. According to the law of resonance, the highest part in your field is the benchmark that provides the opportunity for anything that's not of that high vibration to be cleared spontaneously from your field. And at the same time, it impregnates Dr. Moto's water, scalar water, with your voice. And then you mix it with other water, and you drink it. So now you have transformation and change from the inside out, and you listen to your CD, and it's from the outside in, and it clears you as well. So it's a great way of doing it because you're in charge. It's your voice that's doing the clearing, so you get to regulate how fast it happens. So you can't put yourself into a healing crisis because you'll only do it as fast as you're comfortable with. So that's another whole clearing modality. And for those that want to check that out, you can go to my website through Energy Detective, which will take you to the Sacred Soul Sound website, and check that one out. So that's another methodology. So there's all sorts of different ones around. This is just one of the ways that I think is really effective, is to learn how to do clearing for yourself and for those friends and for your loved ones, and for those that are practitioners, do it for your clients.
I would suggest when you look at Tyson's website, you make sure you have a cup of tea or a cup of coffee with you, because it's really a very good read to go through what he has. Anyway, just, Tyson, can I pull you back to square one again? And that is, again, connect the dots, because we need to hear this sometimes more than once, and we need to just keep hearing it until it kind of gets into our head that we can actually do this work. So the question I'm asking is, how does somebody know that they might have something in their field they want to get rid of? So we've talked about low energy, we've talked about mental illness. So what are some of the other things that people can notice in their own bodies that would show that they might want to get cleared pretty quickly?
That's a great question. If you're hypersensitive to electromagnetic energy, that's a good indicator. If you're feeling other people's thoughts or impressions when you walk past them, that's another good indication. If you're walking into your parents' house and can't maintain your own energy field, that's a really good test of whether you're allowing somebody to be in your field. So that's a good ultimate test, is can you go visit your parents, maintain your field, and not jump back into your old conditioning? That's a big one. Other ones are that you have mind chatter that's going on 24/7, and that you're stressed out to the max, and you can't seem to get to the bottom of it, and you can't figure out what your next step is. That's another pretty good indicator. Other ones are you just don't feel like you used to feel. You feel energy drained. You feel zapped out. You feel stressed. Some of the things that people are diagnosed for, and of course I can't do diagnosis, and I'm not saying that I am diagnosing anybody, but anything that has to do with a diagnosis that has to do with lowering your energy field is a sheer indicator that most likely it might be beneficial to do a deep clearing. Okay, so all of you out there, I can't talk about diagnosis, but you know what I'm talking about. So check your diagnosis, and if it has anything that interrupts with your energy or makes you feel less than what you used to be, then a deep clearing should help you. Does that give you some ideas?
So basically, we getting out of bed in the morning, we should feel excited for the day. We should feel as though we can hardly wait to start. We should have lots of energy, right? So
right.
Anything less is when we probably want to look at getting ourselves cleared.
Yeah, that's a really good way to look at it. If you're not your usual self, if you're peppy and energetic, if you aren't excited about getting out of bed, if you're not welcome in the morning, then probably getting a clearing would be a good idea.
Okay, so we're at the top of the hour here. So if anyone has any questions that's on the phone, I'm not gonna open the lines, because we get feedback, and we're recording for later listeners. But if you want to press *7, then that'll open you up where you can ask Tyson some questions. And then those that are on the internet, you can just type it in, and I'll ask Tyson make sure I understand. I don't know, you can make me understand. Don't type too much. That's where you went wrong, Robert. You just type too much. So in the meantime, so maybe Tyson, you can talk a little bit about how did you get into dowsing? Like, what was your moment of, oh my goodness, you know? This, you were saying Raymond's Workshop.
Yeah, it was Raymond's Workshop, and it was actually Dave Cowan coming. Who was, you know, he was teaching the QX and teaching all over North America how to use the QX machine. I don't know if people know what that is, but basically you have a strap around both hands and you put one around your forehead, and it does multiple readings from iridology to Ayurvedic medicine to to chakras, to all these modalities, like hundreds, maybe even thousands of modalities. It checks you out, runs all these modalities, and gives you a protocol and feeds it back to your body in bursts of energy that then you then takes another reading to see if you're clear. Well, the exciting thing with the dowsing was when David came back and showed me from Raymond's workshop that he could douse very quickly. We could figure out with the QX that what we were doing was as effective as the QX. And not only that, we quickly realized that we could internalize what was going on in the QX and do it with a pendulum and do it faster. To me, that was really, really exciting. I thought, wow, this technology is amazing, but this pendulum, if you can understand it and can accept it as part of your belief system, you can do what other people would say was miracles and do it as effectively as a multiple thousand dollar machine. That was my eye opener.
Okay, so we've got a question from Sarah here. And what she's asking, it looks like, Sarah, you're working with angels, I see. So she wanted to know, Tyson, if you worked with, like you mentioned, Michael, but what angels are you working with? And she just wanted to hear a little bit about your experience.
Well, my experience is basically with Archangel Michael. And I'm not overly aware of it other than I do know that those that are psychic say that I'm got a big sword in my field. So I'm assuming that that's Archangel Michael's field. And I guess, you know, the only thing that really gets my dander worked up is when I find that somebody's really loaded with entities, and then I can really get quite upset, and especially in the beginning of this, and call in Archangel. And I must say, in the beginning part of my dowsing, I was sort of wielding that sword around quite strongly. I hope that I'm a little bit more compassionate now that I'm a little older and wiser, and hopefully I've hung up my sword and shield on the wall. But it is still the compassionate part of Archangel Michael that really assists me as the major clearer, both for myself and for the planet at this time. I'm sure there's other angels that assist, but to be honest, I don't know who or what or when.
Mm-hmm. So just mainly you're saying you work with Michael then?
Yeah, but for anybody who wants to put angels on their light team, in my course that I teach in the spring and the fall, a dowsing course, and one of the things I suggest is not only to come up with a protocol about when you douse, you know, what is in your field, you know, when I douse, I only want to communicate with my higher self, is one of the really important aspects of that protocol, but I also say to choose your light team. Who do you want to work with? So anybody who knows what angelic forces they're working with, I really suggest you put them on your light team to assist you to do this clearing work. The only thing I ask is that you make sure that they're 100% of the light, that there's no trickers allowed in your field to assist you. So angels are a great addition to your light team, and so, of course, our ascended masters, if you know which ones you're working with. And like I said before, any spirit guides or even any totem animals that you're familiar with, or, you know, teachers that you're familiar with that are passed on, they all qualify to be on your light team.
Mm-hmm. It's funny, the light team, you get your light team all organized, and then some things start just showing up. It's like, oh, hello. So people will find that as well, as they'll get entities just coming in that are 100% pure light, but they're there to help as well. So,
yeah, that's really quite neat. Yeah, what I found with most people in dowsing is that, and from my experiences, there's usually three primary guides on your team, but they call in other light beings to assist you with different things that you're working on, particularly those karmic things that you're working through. So your light team is always shifting, but there's usually two to three primary ones that are right there. And just think of it this way. If you are on somebody's light team, or, you know, where their spirit guide, and we're never asked a question and never called on, that would be not a very good situation to be in. So I really encourage people to call for assistance. If you don't call, they're not going to assist you. They have to wait there. I think that would be a boring, terrible job to be a spirit guide and never be asked to assist. So, you know, give them some work to do.
In two places here at once. So in terms of one of the questions this person is asking, and they didn't give a name, they're talking about discarnate and implant technology. What do you mean by that? That would be number 49.
Well, that's the sort of the ugly part of the equation, is that extraterrestrials and other advanced civilizations have discovered and used technologies that can interfere into people's energy fields. And they do that as a way of draining energy off the field. And actually, to be quite blunt about it, they actually feed off the energy. That's how they maintain themselves. So the more they can keep you in fear or keep you traumatized, or worry about the end of the world, or that 2012 is going to be one crisis, or feed you with more scary movies, or give you close to a heart attack, the more that energy they can feed on. So the thing is that you want to clear all alien technology, all implants, from whatever source, even from black ops, from our own governments, and we don't need to go there, but that's, you know, all that stuff. You just want it out of your field, and you want to have all that energy siphoning brought to zero so that entities and psychops and others cannot feed on your negative energy, and that you can become a truly sovereign being standing in your own divine light and knowing why you're here on planet Earth and what your purpose is.
Here's another question coming in. We're just getting web questions tonight. 2012, what do you think is going to happen here?
Well, I apologize for 2012 in the sense that I have an article that I did as a presentation. It's called What's Up with 2012, or The Mystery 2012. I hope to have it up on my website, but I wanted to go give it a good stiff edit. It's a great question. And I promise that I'll have it up in the next 7 days. So if you want to come back to my website, you know, it's a long read, but I play with all the different belief systems around 2012. And basically, in a nutshell, is 2012 is whatever you want it to be. If you're creating your own world, then whatever it is you want to create in 2012, both individually, collectively, it's going to happen. So for if you want to have a rapture, you'll be on the rapture team, and you'll probably get to experience it. And if you, you know, are on the Armageddon team, you'll probably get to experience that, and so on and so forth. So it's really important that this time, as in 2012, what's happening is that it's not the time that's speeding up so much, it's our consciousness. So the gap between the thought and the creation from the thought is becoming almost instantaneous. So that, if that's true, then we have to be really careful about the thoughts that we think, because we're going to manifest them both individually and collectively. So once again, if you're in fear mode that there's going to be Armageddon, then you're feeding into that causal belief that other entities can feed off of, and most likely, if there was enough of you, you will experience that. So the important thing is to try and clear your mind of all that fear and doubt, and actually envision and create and paint in your mind's eye the vision that you want to manifest in 2012 and from that point on, and color it with your emotions and join those people who are like-minded, and to focus on that and create the new world that you want to live in. And boom, it's going to happen.
I think we're hearing such hope. We heard Raymond last week talk about the fact there's more energy in the water in the world now, and so because of the energy's higher, it can hold thought forms. So how important it is for us to put the thought forms we want out there, which is getting passed around by the water. So I think there's so many hopeful things happening right now that we can feel good about it. So this idea of being panicking, there's no reason for it.
Yeah, there is no reason. And Raymond's absolutely right. You know, we are mostly 80-90% water. So if you want to clear yourself, another short form is take a glass of water, put both hands around the water, and say, I am going to clear myself to be 100% pure light. Project that energy into the water. Hold it in your hand. Think it in your mind's eye. See it happening. Put the light into the glass. Hold it for 30 seconds and drink it, and boom, it goes right down to the cells, and you have that transformation and change. Nothing will bring about change quicker than putting energy into thought form, into water. It's the lifeblood of the planet. It's your own lifeblood. That's the way to bring about transformation and change. So, yes, Raymond's work is critically important to change the vibration of water, to raise its consciousness, to clear out all the karmic energy that's carried in the thought form of water, to bring it back to its divine pure essence, is the quickest way to change the thought form of the planet and to bring us to this new stage of transformation and change.
Sue Lynn wants to, and she's from Washington, she wants to know about master number activations. What your experience has been with those 1111?
Yeah, those are tricky. The master number numbers like 1111 or 1212 are gateways or interdimensional portals from this dimension to other dimensions. The problem with interdimensional portals are not only can they be used for beneficial but non-beneficial purposes. So all I'm saying is, let's remove all non-beneficial uses of portal energies. So that's what I'm referring to in that. So it's like holographic inserts that can be used. That's why I'm saying, for example, if you're going to work with a master, if you're going to work with an archangel, make sure it's 100% of the pure light, because I know this sounds yucky, but there's holographic inserts that are used to siphon off those people that are, say, trying to reach Archangel Michael and are asking for that intercession, and there are those that are pretending they're Archangel Michael and feeding off of that energy and feeding that energy back in to create the fear and that generates calling on them again. So it's always really important that it's 100% of the pure light, so that any holographic insert or any distortion of a field is rectified. So what I'm saying with the master numbers is to remove and rectify the field around the energy number of that gateway, and to remove all non-beneficial energies that may have been attached or associated with that gateway.
This is my question, actually. Polarity. Do you have any comments on that?
Yeah, be careful with
that.
Yeah, be careful with polarity. Try and stay at a good-bad, because it's a judgment. As much as possible, if you can think of things that being beneficial for you or non-beneficial, and what might be beneficial for you today may be non-beneficial for you tomorrow. And what we're doing is we're saying, this can enhance my energy field or this does not enhance my energy field. There's no judgment. You know, what may be beneficial for me, maybe non-beneficial for somebody else. And particularly in the field of, say, energy lines, which is a whole other topic, but in geopathic stress, we want to talk about stress. We keep focusing on stress. But what might be geopathic stress for me is not geopathic stress for the next person. So I really encourage people to think in terms of what is it beneficial or non-beneficial, and to check that, because it will shift depending on how your energy field, how much light you're able to carry, what time of day it is. So try and get out of polarity consciousness, because that keeps us bound more and more to the third dimension, that this is good or this is bad, or I have to make a judgment or I have to make a decision or I don't know which way to go. And before you know it, you're full of mind chatter. The thing is to calm yourself, clear yourself, go back to that part of yourself, that higher self that already knows and is already clear and already knows all things in this magical moment, in this now moment, and come from that. And when you douse from that, you get clear answers. And when you get clear answers, you get intuition. And when you get intuition, you get guidance. And when you get guidance, you know what's right action, and then magic starts to happen in your life. You're in the right place at the right time for the next important thing to happen. You meet the right person, the right situation. So that's what it's about.
It's so important not to listen. I mean, you can listen to other people, but it's really important you go back to yourself and just be in your own space and listen to your heart, because you can hear voices from your parents and you can hear voices of people around you, and a lot of them aren't really even holding their own space properly. So this is so you're never wrong for yourself. That's what I was
saying. This lifetime, you can never get it wrong.
Mm-hmm.
That's what's so beautiful about it. You can't get it wrong. You can make it more difficult for yourself by burdening yourself with thoughts that get in the way, but if you can clear yourself and get to your higher self, that you're already whole, sound, and perfect. You're already arrived. It's just in each moment we have a choice to either come from that human mind consciousness that can't remember who we are, or to come from that higher self that already knows. So in each moment we have that choice. So choose wisely.
Perfect. All right, we have another Richard here, and the question from Richard, and he's from New York City. He says, please talk about global warming and how we can handle that.
Well, that's a good one. I'm an environmentalist from way back. For 30 years, I tried to get everybody to change their consciousness around, you know, the planet is suffering. Can't you feel the heartbeat of the planet? She's in crisis. You need to change your actions. You need to do something about global warming. You need to change your belief about this and change your actions, because we need to save this planet. You know, it wasn't until I was in a meeting with other environmentalists and people started to talk about why they became environmentalists, I realized these people are really in a lot of pain. They're in a lot of suffering. They really feel that the boundary between themselves and the earth is one and the same. And they really are being eaten alive. And I decided I didn't want to live my life like that anymore. So I decided, well, how can I do this? So I thought, well, I want to become the change I want to see in the world. I want to model what I want to see reflected in the world around. If I create this world, then I'm going to create this consciously, and I'm going to be that change. I'm going to be that light into the world. So when it comes to global warming, there's a couple of things to think about. I just offer this out here. This is my reality. You can buy into it or not and do your own research. But from my knowledge, is every planet in the solar system is warming up. Okay? So this has got nothing to do with human interaction. Does that mean that we should stop using gas and polluting the planet? Absolutely yes. Should we tax everybody to kingdom come because of global warming? Not necessarily. I think another tax put onto global warming is another way to extract money from your back pocket. Whatever we do on this planet as a human when it comes to global warming isn't going to change the overall equation. I know this doesn't sound good, but the globe is going to warm up anyway. The planet is scheduled for a transition to another dimension. Part of it is generating heat. It's like preparing for a birth. The whole solar system is heating up. Now, do we need to do that transformation and change around fossil fuels? Absolutely. So that's my take on global warming. Don't get caught up in the guilt that somehow we're bad, rotten, and wrong because we're not getting it right. Yeah, we're getting it right, but we haven't made that change that we desperately need to do because we're not allowed to make it yet. We have all the technology, is already known how to make this shift. So just envision your planet as having no cars running on fossil fuel. We already have the technology to do it different ways. Think of your planet as clear and pure and sound with clean air, no pollution, and we're going to make this transition into the light with ease and grace. And don't be overwhelmed by the fear of global warming. And that's what I suggest.
Okay, this is the next question is from Evelyn. And she's asking about her mother. And this is a healing question. She's saying that she's, you know, been trying to work with her mother, but just she doesn't seem to be able to do it. So she's wondering if you have any suggestions for her.
I really, really feel that if you look at the Ho'oponopono prayer and follow it, particularly for anybody that is one of your relatives, like your mom or your dad, and you do that, it really, really is effective. It certainly worked in my life, both with my mom and bringing a brother back into my life that I hadn't seen for 30 years. So I know it's worked magic in my life, so I suggest that as something that you could pursue. And basically, it's really quite simple. Ho'oponopono is the belief that there's nothing external from yourself. You create the world that you live in, and therefore you chose your mother, and your mother's presented to you for you to learn, and you to learn from your mother, and her to learn from you. And if you can do the Ho'oponopono prayer, which is, you know, I love you, I love myself for calling my mother into my life and for choosing this incarnation, and I love my mother for choosing that role to help me wake up and to become a divine person, and I forgive myself for any feelings that I may have that are non-beneficial around this, right? And I thank myself for this opportunity for this to happen with my mother so that we can make these changes and transformations that we agreed to on the other side, and we can do this together. So I love you. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Thank you are the four aspects of that prayer. And if you do that with an open heart, a shift will happen. So it's another way of clearing those cords that connect one between one's loved ones that actually go from one dimension to another dimension to the one loved ones that have passed over. Those cords that attach, usually through the solar plexus, can drain you from you to your mother or from your mother to you or from you to your child and back again. And you really want to sever those cords. You want your kids to become independent, and you want your mom to be your mom and you to be you, and to learn from each other and to provide forgiveness for the opportunity to learn all this from each other.
I think it's really helpful in not carrying the weight of your family. Because sometimes you just sort of feel like you have to change them, or you have to, you know, there's things you have to do, but you really don't.
You just have to change yourself, and that they'll change.
Mm-hmm.
You become the very example of what you want to be. Then the beautiful thing about this is your parents provide the best test of how you're doing. If you can clear your field and go and visit your parents and not shift your field for 5 minutes, I'd say you graduated. And if you can do that for half an hour, you're a grandmaster. And you should congratulate yourself.
Tyson, it sounds like you're a man with experience there. That's all I can say.
Well, my mother was a grandmaster. She taught me wisely.
Okay, so do you want to, Tyson, we were talking before you came on that you know, to have you back again and talk about the connection between humans and nature. So do you want to just do a little preamble on that?
Yes, the basis of the Energy Detective website really stretches back through 30 years of working with deepening the sacred connection between land and people, or between nature and people. It's based on the premise of healing yourself, you heal the planet. And this is the topic that really gets me excited, and one I love to talk about, because it really has the way to combine what I call spiritual ecology with dowsing, with environmentalism, with personal transformation and change and clearing. It really covers a whole multitude and gives us a new way of working with nature spirits, with nature herself, with the landscape diva, how to do sacred ceremony, how to do medicine wheels, how to work with all the different energy levels in a very positive, transformative way to bring about the new world that we so welcome as we move from 2012 and onward.
I'm looking forward to that. So I have, this is my question, is the Energy Detective, where did that title come from?
Well, it's just that my friends started to call me the Energy Detective, so I thought, well, okay, why not I just use that as a handle, as the Energy Detective, right? So I work at looking at energy in human bodies, energies beneath the ground. Any forms of energy are what I work with and help transform them from non-beneficial into beneficial.
So how would you put a handle on yourself? I know this is kind of like an elevator speech, but how would you just define yourself?
Well, I would say that I'm intuitive from birth, and that I had a hard time fitting in on this planet. It didn't make much sense to me. I also was hoping that somebody from another dimension might pick me up and take me home, but I quickly realized that wasn't going to happen. I also quickly discovered that there was no, a rule book or manual for operating on planet Earth. So it took me a while to try and fit in, and I spent most of my life trying to fit in and becoming normal. And now that I am older and hopefully somewhat wiser, I don't care about fitting in. In fact, it's the last thing I want to do. In fact, I'd rather be abnormal, and I'd rather work with those that feel that they're abnormal and help them to feel more comfortable and more grounded and more welcome on planet Earth. So I think that's really why I really can relate to the misfits and to those that have been diagnosed with all these funny initials behind their names as ADHD or whatever they are, and for all those that have been given Ritalin and other transformative psychotropic drugs, and for those that don't feel they're really from this planet, and for those that are crystals or are indigo or rainbow children that wondering what are they doing here, those are the people that I really like to work with to help them feel more comfortable that, yeah, you're on the right planet. Let's help you feel more comfortable, and let's get on with why you're here, and let's all do the work together. So I know that sounds a bit strange, but that's sort of how I would call myself, sort of a person that's had a hard time fitting in and now doesn't really matter or care about it, who wants to work with other people to make them feel more comfortable about what's happening in their life. And if you feel that you're normal, that's okay, too. And if you feel that you're stuck and just would like to make the next step and you would like a little help with that, then I'll can maybe coach you to help you discover what that next step is for you. So give me a call.
All right, Tyson, so why don't you give out your email and phone number and website if you like, and then just so everybody has it. I know it's up on the screen there, but just so you can just give it over for those that are just listening at a later date.
Okay, well, my phone number is 250-835-8236, and my email address is Tyson, and it's a strange spelling. It's T-Y-H-S-O-N at energydetective.ca. And if you want another one, which is shorter, it's T-Y-H-S-O-N-B at gmail.com.